Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Lucy Hickmott.
Hello and happy Friday. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on the 8th of March. Our top story, controversial plans for a surfing lagoon and accommodation at a Kent country park have been given the go-ahead. The development at Bettshanger was initially rejected last summer, but developers have since amended their proposals. Campaigners say it'll be hugely damaging for rare plants and animals in the area. Nicholas is a planning officer for the Kent Wildlife Trust.
The locations for the hotel and the surf lagoon are going to have direct impacts on habitats, particularly the surf lagoon on lizard orchid and fire clingwing habitats, which is the curled dockleaf. And that's the same for the hotel with the fire clingwing. The hotel is also in close proximity to priority habitat for water vole, and so there's going to be a direct impact there. The measures are going to cause a lot of harm in terms of noise and light pollution, as well as recreational disturbance from the increase in visitors. There are turtle dove habitats which are there to mitigate for a previous development across the road, and they're going to be in such close proximity that they're going to be driven away. Other species such as the lizard orchid is directly where the footprint of the sea surf lagoon was going to be, and the measures to translocate are unproven and unlikely to work. There's a whole raft of mitigation measures and compensation measures that have been put forward. And in terms of the lizard orchid, the measures put forward are untested. It's happened once before and it was unsuccessful. And we're not convinced that what they're proposing is going to work in this instance either. Given how rare the species is and how important it is at a national level, there's great concern that those lizard orchids are just going to be lost.
The company behind the scheme say they have management plans to help mitigate the disruption to wildlife. Debbie is among those opposing it and spoke after last night's meeting where plans were approved.
It's obviously deeply disappointing, and it's a dark day for biodiversity and the exceptional wildlife at the park. It's also a dark day for democracy because the planning decisions have gone against their own planning policies and the National Planning Policy Framework.
Richard Stiles is also angry about the decision.
I did expect the officers to recommend the acceptance. I think they're afraid of a developer very often because they're afraid that there'll be a planning inspectorate appeal. I find it unlikely that the developer's going to sit here for 7 years, and I think a lot of the people who were chasing are believing that they're going to be able to go surfing next week. It's not going to happen. We are talking a minimum 7 years. If those lizard orchids can't be transferred, and I don't think they can, the whole thing will fall to pieces anyway. So it's a setback. It's not very good, and it doesn't show Dover in a very good light, I'm afraid. It's showed the reason why there aren't water parks on country parks is because they're spaces for the public for quiet enjoyment. They're not places for people to run around and surf and all the rest of it and have hotels on. There is plenty of other land that they could do that with. There is no need to use this country park. I think the Discovery Park is a perfect place for it. It's connected up, you've got railways, you've got a new Thanet Parkway station which they spent a fortune on building. That would be an ideal place to put it there. You know, at least that site would be of some use.
Bosses at Bettshanger Country Park say the hotel and surf lagoon will bring new jobs, more visitors and a sustainable future. The site is currently operating at a loss of £1,000 a day.
Kent Online reports.
A Gravesend man who used his poorly grandmother's bank cards to pay for Xbox games has been ordered to do unpaid work. Benjamin Pay also harassed his mum for money and threatened her when she refused. The 24-year-old, who doesn't have a permanent address, admitted fraud and was given a suspended prison sentence. A Met police officer from Kent has been dismissed from the force after he was found to have crystal meth. Dino Atkins Tyler was arrested following a search of his home last September. A misconduct hearings found he breached the standards of professional behaviour. He was also given a conditional discharge in court. Now, ahead of a crackdown on vehicles outside schools in Medway, a Chatham mum has hit out at not being given an exemption permit. Nicola's got more on this for the podcast.
Well, the school street scheme will ban cars from certain roads near primary schools during drop-off and pick-up times from Monday. One of them is Simons Avenue, where Greenvale School is based. Georgina Phillips lives there and falls in the ME45HU postcode, but has twice been told she doesn't qualify for a parking permit. She's unclear why, but thinks it might be because she's near to the junction with Hague Avenue. And the local authority has since said Mrs. Phillips has not been granted an exemption because the family has alternative ways to access their property. Now, as part of the project, ANPR cameras will be used to catch and fine drivers who break the rules. In the first 6 months, only a warning will be issued, but after that, there will be a penalty charge. Anyone found guilty will be fined £70, which will be reduced to £35 if paid within 21 days. School Street will be in place between 8 and 9 in the morning and 3 and 4 in the afternoon.
Another resident's been sharing his view on the scheme. Alexander Young lives on Greenfield Road in Gillingham, where St Mary's Catholic Primary is based. He's been chatting to Oliver from KMTV and is hopeful it'll reduce congestion.
It's always been a problem down here with the traffic, and we used to be able to park on that side of the road now without having a ticket. But you can't do that now, so they've been changing the rules slowly for the last 15, 20 years.
And have you been informed much about what this new school scheme means?
Well, it's not very easy to understand. You can grasp basically the situation, but as long as we can go, come and go when we like, and as long as we can park, because I pay for my parking ticket down here, yeah? So as long as we can come and go whenever we like, I don't see the problem. I really don't.
And have you noticed a big issue with congestion around pick-up and drop-off times down here?
Oh, crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Some people don't even know how to drive the cars they're in, you know. They've got these great big gas-guzzling machines, and I've actually moved some cars for them sometimes because I can't even drive them.
So you do support any scheme that will help reduce that traffic?
Absolutely, yes, of course. I don't see a problem.
Kent Online News.
Jimmy Carr's been criticised after reportedly mocking a deaf woman who went to see his show in Dartford. Carly Arland suffered hearing loss while serving in the army and says she was targeted by the comedian, who noticed she was wearing a hat to cover her hearing aid. The 51-year-old's described it as unacceptable. We've asked his people for a response. The Orchard Theatre declined to comment. A man's been fined thousands of pounds for illegally transporting waste following a police chase in Sittingbourne. Matt Jackson from East Church was spotted in a flatbed lorry on the A249 and was eventually caught at a scrap metal site off Eurolink Way. Checks found the 32-year-old from Warden Road didn't have a licence. The parents of a 7-year-old girl who died trying to cross the Channel to Kent say people smugglers don't see them as humans. Rua drowned when the boat she was in capsized in northern France last weekend. Her family had spent years travelling from Iraq. Speaking through a translator, Mum Noor, who's heavily pregnant, says she needs someone to listen to her.
She was beautiful. I lost her from my hands, my little princess. She'd seen nothing in this world. We wanted to make their lives better.
Hassan is one of Rua's brothers.
She was very dear to us, but she's gone now, and I want her to come back, but she won't.
Rishi Sunak says stopping the boats is one of his top priorities.
Kent Online reports.
Two men have been charged after police in Tunbridge seized a large amount of toiletries that are thought to have been stolen. Toothbrushes, nappies and nicotine replacement products were found when officers stopped a suspicious vehicle in Sovereign Way. A 19 and 26-year-old are due in court later this month, accused of shoplifting. It's been confirmed the Peacock store in Ashford is closing for good. Staff who work at the County Square shopping centre have been told the unit will shut on the 23rd of March. Now, businesses on a road in Sandwich fear their trade will suffer after it suddenly had to close for emergency repairs. A property on King Street has also been boarded up after cracks started to appear. It's thought a problem underground has caused subsidence and investigations need to take place. Melissa Scott works at the Sandwich Bakery Company and has been speaking to reporter Chantelle Weller.
Kind of happened out of the blue. We only really realised when one of the previous local councillors, who now is with DDC, uploaded it on Facebook. No warning, and literally it was the next day. So we got that notice in the evening, and then the next day the road shut. So it was very much a, what do we do? So, yeah, there was no warning or anything like that. We understand work has to be done, but I think there could have been more of a thought of the businesses in the town, especially because 90% of the road are local businesses. So, yeah.
So how has it affected footfall so far? Would you say that there's been a decrease?
Oh, automatically, even from the first day. Yeah, after speaking with like other businesses as well, just seeing how that all worked, it's definitely a bit more of people going, oh, am I allowed down? Am I not? It's definitely changed for us. Obviously, we usually get people to come in and get their bread. They'll pull in over at the lay-by. They can just pop in, get their bread and go. So we've definitely seen a decrease in that. Obviously, we're a bakery, so we're not online, so that's totally different. But yeah, it's definitely lowered the footfall dramatically. Considering we've got Mother's Day this weekend, obviously that's usually quite a cake-driven weekend. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, it's definitely dropped quite a bit.
And it's a daunting prospect that it might be until May. Did you know that?
Yes. So we only found that out after. Obviously, originally it was 21 days. And now we've been told it's been extended till May. Obviously, no reasonings as such. We have asked as a group of us, obviously, we've made our feelings known to Sandwich Town Council. They have arranged for a meeting with the builder tomorrow to discuss what's going on. But obviously, we don't know what's going to happen. Is it May? Is it extended? Is it not? So because we're not part of the process or acknowledged as part of the process, we have no idea. Especially for deliveries and stuff, we have to go that further out to be able to collect it ourselves to somehow get it in. So it's just one of that. It's quite worrying. It's very worrying.
The company in charge of the work, Walker Construction, declined to comment.
Kent Online News.
A new £12.6 million hospital ward for people with mental health conditions has opened in Maidstone. The building on Hermitage Lane replaces out-of-date facilities based in Medway and increases the number of beds from 10 to 16. It's called Ruby Ward and also has dedicated space for therapy sessions and four gardens. A documentary about Kent's Paul O'Grady will be on TV over Easter. The Life and Death of Lily Savage features interviews with his family and friends, including Graham Norton, Julian Clary and Sir Ian McKellen. The presenter's final TV project, Paul O'Grady's Great Elephant Adventure, will also be shown a year after he died at his home in Ashford. On International Women's Day, a female student mechanic from Sheerness has told Kent Online she's out to prove critics wrong. Maddie Lovett was told by some at school that only men could do the job and she should consider cooking or beauty therapy. The 16-year-old's now studying at college in Broadstairs and spoke to reporter Ellie Hodgson.
I've always enjoyed cars, but I didn't actually think about fixing them until I was probably 8 years old. And then from there, it was like mechanic.
What age did you first fix experience fixing up a car?
I'd always help my dad, like passing tools and things when I was younger. But I didn't actually help him properly hands on, probably only until a few years ago. So probably from 14.
What is it about fixing cars that you enjoy so much?
Makes me feel smart, really, to be honest. Gives me that boost. I don't know. I don't really know how to explain it really, but it's just having that knowledge and keeping my brain going that I really enjoy, because it's always something new. You might do the same job 3 or 4 different times, maybe on the same model of vehicle, but it's always different. Nothing ever goes the same.
And I guess doing the sort of job that you're doing and will be doing for, you know, that's your career, right? That's what you want to do as your career. You know, what sort of difficulties do you face, and like, how do you overcome them? Do you not mind the challenge of that?
I'd say, because I'm the only girl in my class, so that was really nerve-wracking, especially because I joined my new class halfway in. They were already there for 3 months and then I moved in, so that was difficult, but they were really good with welcoming me, and I've never felt out of place there. The same at work, never felt out of place. I have had people, you know, like immature people at school, where they'd say things like, oh, girls should be mechanics, you should go do like cooking or hair and beauty and things like that. But not a bit of me, really. That's
How does it make you feel when people say stuff to you like that?
Initially, I just want to prove them wrong. Like, I haven't really got anything to say to it, because I know that I can overcome it and I can do it. I used to be like, get upset about things, but it's not really worth the bother, really, because I'm out here doing what I love every single day, and that's what keeps me going, really.
She's hoping to be fully qualified by her early 20s and wants to work in the motorsports industry. Head over to Kent Online today to see pictures from a former nightclub in Folkestone. Our special report looks back at the history of La Parisienne, known as the Priz. It was at the centre of the town's party scene for almost 3 decades before closing in 2015. And there's a lot to celebrate across Kent this weekend. Here's our What's On editor Sam Laurie with a look at some of the events and activities taking place.
It's shaping up to be a great weekend ahead. The sun is shining, at least some of the time, and it's Mother's Day on Sunday, which means it's a great excuse to spoil the mother figures in your life. If you're still scratching your head for last-minute ideas, we've got a list of fantastic treats that Mum will love, from afternoon teas to wine tastings. There's also some great discounts you can take advantage of, including a Mum's Go Free offer at Howlett's Wild Animal Park near Canterbury all weekend. You can find our full list of ideas on the What's On website. And speaking of free days out, we're just about to kick off this year's National Lottery Open Week, where you can get into some of Kent's top attractions for the price of a lottery ticket or a scratch card. All you need to do is show your lottery ticket or scratch card at the gate, and you can get into places such as Leeds Castle, Dover Castle, Bournemouth Castle and National Trust properties across the county for free. The scheme runs until next Sunday, so you can take advantage of free entry and exclusive offers for a whole week. Now, as always, there's lots of great theatre happening in Kent this weekend, and one you won't want to miss is Six the Musical. The smash hit show and its fabulous pop princesses are currently at the Marlowe Theatre in Canterbury and will be performing there until Saturday night. It's pretty much sold out, but if you contact the theatre, you might be in with a chance of grabbing the last couple of tickets. Finally, TV host and comedian John Bishop is at the Churchill Theatre in Bromley on Friday and Saturday. Now, these shows really are sold out, so lucky you if you've already got tickets. But if not, the stand-up star will be back in the county with a night at the Assembly Hall Theatre in Tunbridge Wells in November. So make sure you get in there quick before those tickets all get snapped up too. So whether you're spending some quality time with Mum this weekend, getting sport rotten yourself, or hitting the town to see what's on at your local theatre, I hope you have a fantastic weekend.
Thanks, Sam.
Kent Online Sport.
Football now, and Gillingham will be hoping to bounce back from a disappointing midweek defeat tomorrow. They lost 2-0 at Barrow and dropped out of the League Two playoff places. They're back at Priestfield this weekend and host Tranmere Rovers. Here's assistant coach Robbie Stockdale.
We've got a great opportunity now with 3 games of the week, and start with Tranmere here on Saturday too. Just got on another little run, and we've been pretty good before that game on Tuesday, and we hope to play in a similar fashion again on Saturday. I think to reach the form of the Wrexham game, Salford, we drew with the league leaders here in Stockport. We were in good form going to Tuesday, whether it was a heavy pitch. I know the manager spoke after the game, in hindsight, maybe changing a couple of players might have helped, but you also feel that those players deserve another opportunity, and sometimes as a player you get into a rhythm of playing, and you know, I've got to be honest, I'm pretty level-headed. I think that's my job. I don't think we're as good as what everybody says when we win a game, and I don't think we're as bad when we lose a game. I think I sort of live in the middle, and my sort of idea of where the team is sort of floats between that. I think there's always room for improvement. We came off the game at Wrexham and at Salford, and I still showed the players clips where I think we can get better. So that's why, that's our job. That's why, you know, we spend a lot of time analysing our own games. And you're right, it was a frustrating night where we didn't quite reach those standards, and hopefully we will again. We went to Tranmere quite early in mine and Steve's sort of time at the club, and they did, you know, they beat us 3-1 on the day. We felt we had lots of the ball. And, you know, they're another stubborn team to break down with some good players. You think of Apta. But, again, I go back to, it's about us. You know, we play to our levels. We're a match for anybody in this division. And we just came off it a little bit on Tuesday. No dramas. We'll get back on it.
Defender Max Aymer has also been chatting to reporters as the season nears its end.
10 to go, I think.
Yep.
You excited? Do you feel the excitement into March?
Yeah, it is exciting. I think we... I can tell you the last time we was in sort of a promotion-ish, maybe under Justin, yeah, longer. But yeah, it's exciting, and I think we've got some good games coming up, games that we feel are winnable, so we're just going to take that confidence into those games.
You mentioned that time during Justin, that was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Refreshing to be involved in a battle at the top end rather than...
Certainly, yeah, it's a different kind of excitement. So no, it's good, and we know that the squad down there that we've got is capable, more than capable of getting into the playoffs. But it's making sure we do those things to get us in there rather than wishing on other results.
I suppose top or bottom, there's still pressure on the results, but either way, isn't
there? Yeah, there's pressure. Even if you were mid-table, you probably still got, in this league, you probably still got a chance of getting in the playoffs. So I think you go into every game wanting to win, unless it's mathematically correct. You probably, it's not as much pressure or whatever, but you still want to win the games.
Can you believe how tight it is?
Yeah, you know what, I haven't actually looked at the table. I know we're ninth. I think it's ninth. But I tend to look at the league more when we win rather than lose. So I didn't look at it after the game. Just heard where we were.
But I guess, you know, you don't need to string too many results together to be in a really comfortable position.
Yeah, I think we sat down a couple of months ago with the gaffer and the staff, and there was sort of, there was like stats that we needed to hit and whatnot, and we're coming along nicely in them, but we've still got work to do. So we won't stop until the last game of the season's over. Where that takes us, we don't know yet, but we're aiming as high as we can.
Kick-off tomorrow's at 3:00, and Kent Cricket have set out plans for their women's team to turn professional. The Horses have won the league championship several times and have 5 T20 titles to their name. The club wants to put in a bid to the England and Wales Cricket Board to go pro from the 2025 season. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories directed to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.